Wow, look at all those papers. Been kind of, how many's had a good week? You know, I was thinking about, actually I was working on this message. I was working on this message when all crazy broke loose. And I said, wow, just to tell you a little bit about it, I was trying to work on some plumbing because we had a plumbing issue, and I was working on some plumbing, and I went to Lowe's. How many know if you're going to do a project and Lowe's is involved, you got to go at least twice? And if it's a minimum, if it's major, you got to go three times. And if you don't know what you're doing, just camp out there. Okay, and so I went to Lowe's, and while I was there, I saw somebody from the funeral home. And they said, I said, how's it going? They said, we're always busy. And they said, we got a big one tomorrow. And I said, this is on Saturday. I said, well, that's good. I said, I haven't had any funerals for about a month now. I said, I'm kind of feeling kind of bad because I used to have them once a week, it seems like. And I said, but you know what? I'm going to enjoy tomorrow because I got all this plumbing to do. And I looked at him and said, whatever you do. I said, you got a pastor for this one? Yes, sir. I said, good. Whatever you do, don't call me. And I walked away and I heard a little voice saying, you're going to eat those words. So I go home and I go starting to doing the plumbing work. And I said, you know what? I need a couple more fittings. So I'm going to go back to Lowe's. On the way back to Lowe's, I get a call from the funeral home. And I said, well, how's it going, man? He says, I really need your help. And I said, okay, shoot. He said, a person that's been very dear to my family, helped take care of my family. She died, and we were going to do the service, and the pastor got COVID. And I remember when I got COVID, and Wayne stepped in for me right at the last minute. Well, here I was now, this guy's got COVID, and said his backups got COVID also. And so, can you do it? And I said, now, remember, when this guy told me about the funeral on Saturday, he said it's going to be at Southside High School. I said, well, just don't call me. Well, I said, this place wouldn't have to be at Southside High School, would it? He said, yep. I said, okay. And so I go to the funeral home, and I'm thinking it's going to be, you know, going to the funeral home, I mean, Southside to leave. And he tells me, he said, no, we're allotting 2 hours for this and 2 hours for the graveside. So it's a four-hour service. And I said, okay. And so then that night, it was a couple hours, you know, trying to get it straight, you know, at the funeral home. And then the next Saturday, I left at 11 o'clock from my house, got back at 5. And all the way there, I kept hearing, don't call me. Yeah, right. Don't call me. Yeah, right. And in the middle of all that, there was other things that were going on. There was people I was trying to help. And while I'm in Lowe's looking for things, I'm counseling. Because a lot of times I do something called text therapy. If you don't want to talk, there's something called text therapy where actually, if you don't mind waiting, you can text me your question or text me your problem, and we can correspond by text. And it really works very well, especially when somebody's working and can't get off to come over here or meet them somewhere. And so I was doing text therapy with four people. Text therapy with four people, and I was doing plumbing therapy for me and my wife. And I do like to take a bath every now and then. Especially as I thought, you know, church today, I need to take a bath at least by church time. Okay. So you never know what's going to happen, what's going to go up. And so it just pays to always be ready because life is crazy. And if anybody thinks their life is going to be lined with sugar plums and Skittles, you're so mistaken. And when people start getting things, they think, well, does God not love me anymore? That's so crazy. God loves you. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean he doesn't love you. You know, and have you ever felt like you were just left behind? You know, I like this. There was a group of friends went deer hunting and paired off in twos for the day. That night, one of the hunters returned alone, staggering under the weight of an 8-pound buck. Where's Henry, the others asked. Well, Henry had a stroke of some kind. He's a couple miles back on the trail, the hunter replied. He said, you left Henry laying out there and carried a deer back? He said, tough call. He said, but I figured no one was going to steal Henry. Yeah, so you ever felt like that's you, you're Henry? you know, life has just left you behind. Well, we're going to talk about this. I don't know, maybe 2 weeks, maybe more. But we're going to talk about dealing with adversity and passing through some dark valleys. You know, that family, bless their heart, yesterday was passing through a dark valley. And so I felt privileged and honored to be able to help that family yesterday. All joking aside, I felt privileged and honored. And there's two things that always get me quickly. And usually I don't even ask, but what time is it, and say yes. And that is if they say cancer was involved because of Bethany and my mama and my brother-in-law, cancer or a veteran. Those two right there, you know, I'm on it. Because veterans and cancer just really get to my heart. And this was a cancer patient. So I felt honored to do this. But still, my plans were to do plumbing. Guess what's still not fixed? The plumbing. Amen. But at least we got it propped up. I did take a shower. Don't be afraid to come up and be prayed for. Amen. Then my wife was reading about, you know, because we keep having these effects. We had COVID a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still having that brain fog in my throat. As the day goes by, I start losing my voice, and my wife is feeling kind of like, she calls it gummy in her lungs, but it's getting better. And we're looking at what's called long-term COVID, and it said one of the effects is brain fog. And I said, well, that's it. And she said, and bad smell. And I said, well, that's just the shower. She said, not you. I'm talking about this. Y'all can go ahead and laugh. Y'all made that problem too. Amen. Okay. So now passing through dark valleys. Now I want you to get your Bible out. This is going to be so simple. Matter of fact, it's so simple that you might just get your Bibles out anyway. Get them out. Turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Y'all say this with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me beside the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's go back to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Stretch forth your hands this way. God, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are alive and well and that you are on your throne. We thank you, God, that although we don't understand the trials that we get in life, we don't always understand the pressure that we're under, and we don't understand the way they the nature of the trials, that it's just hard sometimes to comprehend. And if we're not careful, we'll think that you don't love us anymore, that we have to earn your favor and that we haven't earned enough favor. That's why we're going into trials. God, today, right now, help us to understand that that is so far from the truth. Help us to understand that the path that you have lined for us that has victory on the other side is lined with victories all the way, but it's also lined with pain. And God, you think you take our pain and make it productive, and you never waste our pain. In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. All right, I want to just want to take my time this morning. It's not going to be long. When I take my time, you know, it's like I was watching Duck Dynasty, and their air conditioner was down, and they got Mountain Man. You ever seen Duck Dynasty and Mountain Man? He talks like this. And their air conditioner was down, and he looked up and said, can you figure out what's wrong with it? And he looked up there and said, it's broke. And he said, well, it's 100 degrees here. Can you fix it? He said, yes. He said, how long will it take? He said, about 15 minutes. Hadn't even looked at it yet. And And Willie said, your 15 minutes is the equivalent of our 4 hours. That was on when I left. It was still weren't fixed when I left. It was hot. So it ain't going to take long today. Amen. God's good. It's okay to have fun in God's house. I'm going to ask you, we're going to start off with a question. This is a quiz. You know it was going to be a quiz today, did you? I want you to get a piece of paper and a pencil out if you got one. I want you to write this question down. This is an awesome question. What do you get in a land where all you have is sunshine every day? Wouldn't you like to be in a place where there was sunshine every day? No rain, just all sunshine. Man, oh man, wouldn't that be awesome, huh? So here it is. What do you get in a land where you're all you have is sunshine every day and no rain? Now, let me just give you some. I'm gonna give you some prelude answers. Okay. First, you don't have any balance. I'm a metal right now. I'm a metal hard. We have a generation that thinks they should have sunshine every minute of the day. And if they don't get sunshine, they're not living the life, they're not keeping up with their friends. We got to have the latest greatest. We got to keep sunshine, 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 sunshine. And what happens is there's no balance in their life. Number two, growth is stunted. You're blocked. Because if all you got is sunshine, you ain't going to grow. In our own life, if all we get is sunshine, I promise you, you won't grow. Matter of fact, you will do less than grow. You will back up. And then you'll be unthankful. If all you get is sunshine, you're just unthankful. God's just blessing me. You know, I've seen people say, I'm just living on the blessings of God. I don't have any problems. Well, either they're lying or they're on some good medicine. So, you get unthankful. You're blank. And then bland is boring. You know, I hear kids all the time, I'm bored. I'm bored, Dad. I'm bored, Mom. I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm bored. And they got an iPad in one hand and a cell phone in the other hand and they're watching Netflix on the TV. They got everything going on around them. And I'm thinking back, you know, when you send them to their room, you go in their room and it's like a command station for Apollo 19. And they're bored. In my day, Mama just took you out and said, go play with some sticks, son. And she didn't say go play with some sticks. She said go pick a stick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can remember my grandmamas. We thought we were Roy Rogers and all of them. We were tough stuff because grandmama had some extra tobacco sticks and twine. And so we took the twine and tied the tobacco sticks. They were our horses. We were riding all around and kicking the dirt so we were being shot at. We weren't bored. We were dirty, but we weren't bored. So again, all sunshine. If all you get in your life is sunshine, what do you get? Here back to our question. What do you get in a land where all you have is sunshine every day and no rain? Sunburn too. Yeah. Especially those that have brains and no hair. Amen. Desert. Could it be that some of us are walking around in the desert today because we're not reaping the benefits of the rain? We're not reaping the benefits of the problems. We're not reaping the benefits of the pain. But instead, we're resisting all of that, and we're crying out to God for sunshine and not realizing that we're caught in a desert in our life. Now, the Bible's full of deserts. I mean, full of deserts. And so, I'm just going to give a few, just three. Okay, there's the valley of trouble, the valley of Achan in Joshua chapter 7, verse 26. They piled a great heap of stones over Achan, which remains to this day. This is why the place has been called the valley of trouble ever since. So the Lord was no longer, so once they appeased him, he was no longer angry because they took, what happened was they were supposed, they were going to the land, in the land of promise, and they were supposed to take everything from the land, when they went into the land of promise, they were supposed to take everything. This was the first battle, the first win, and God had helped them in this win. They were to take all the gold and silver and dedicate it to God. And he hid it under his floor, under his bed. And instead of giving God what God asked for, he took it and hid it. Now, none of us do that, right? All right. And so because of that, it caused everybody to suffer. And it was called the Valley of Trouble. And so once they took care of business, then God took care of them. Then there's the Valley of Weeping. Everybody, every one of us, that's the Valley of the Weeping Willow. Every last one of us. Psalm 84 and 6. God would like to take this, if he's who passing through the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Weeping, make it a well. Go ahead and take advantage of the pain. I notice you thinking, you have lost your ever-loving mind. Take advantage of the pain. I'm here to tell you something right now. If you can learn to take advantage of your pain, it's amazing what God can do. Amen? And then the valley of deep darkness. Psalm 23 and 4 says, yea, thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, just to let you know, there was really, for real, when the shepherds were keeping their flocks, there was a real valley of the shadow of death. There really was. What it was in order to get good grazing, they would have to go up and down the mountains. As they went up and down the mountains, there was paths that they had to go through. And one of them was a very narrow path, and it was a very hard fall. And if you fell off of that path, you would fall to your death. And so it was called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And what it was the shepherd, he had his rod, and he had his staff, and he took the rod and the staff, and he took his sheep, and he maneuvered them up this narrow path called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. As he's going down and up both ways, he's got his crook, and he catches his sheep, and he keeps them on the path, so he takes care of them. I like what the New Living Translation calls it. It says, for when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me, and they comfort me. So let's just go in here, and talk about dark valleys. Okay, number one, dark valleys are unavoidable. Did you know that? You're not going to get past them. I promise you, you're not going to get past them. Life is going to happen to you. Life is going to happen. And I promise you, life isn't always peaches and cream. Life isn't always hunky-dory. Life isn't always Skittles and rainbows. Life is hard. It happens to all of us. You can count on it. You know, many times as we're coming out of one valley, we're going right into another. And sometimes while we're in one, we run through another valley. And so we may do a dispersion of two or three valleys at one time. Life happens. And you cannot avoid it. When you get on the road, you know how dangerous it is even just to ride on the highway. I remember one day I was riding down Highway 33, and I watched the A-10 Warthog, and I said, he turned around, and I'm the only one on the road. He turns around and comes right straight toward me, and I'm thinking, wow, that's spooky. And he just stayed right on me, and then he passed over me. And I went, whoa, that's rough. I know this isn't war, but that's rough. And so I happened to be talking to Steve. I said, see, there's the A-10. Warthog just went right over top of me. He said, dude, they were beating you. They were using you for target practice. And I went, is there another way to go besides 33? But you know what? That's how life is. You turn around and you get one thing straight, and then there's another, and there's another. If you were human, how many here are human? You're going to experience dark valleys. The Bible says mankind is born for trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. We're born for trouble. Amen? So first, y'all say unavoidable. Even the people you think don't have any problems, they got them. Even the people you think don't have any dark valleys, guess what? They got them. And if you're really close to people, and especially as a pastor over the years, I've seen it where one person said, man, I'd have it made if I was like this person. And I've said this before, but I got to say it again because it's just so valid right here. There was a guy in my church in Benson, owned a gas company, serviced several counties. He was a multimillionaire. He bought his car, a brand new Lincoln, every year. Paid cash for it. There was a lot of things going on. He had like 100 plus people working for him. He had trucks all over the road. And people was at, one day he came up to me and he said, "Got a problem, Pastor." I said, "What?" He said, I need to donate some money somewhere. I said, "What? What's going on?" He said, "I got, you know, for taxes." He says, I've got $14,000. I need to donate $14,500 somewhere. He said, "You got any ideas?" I said, "Well, it's kind of wild you say that because the parsonage, we owe $14,500 on it." And he smiled. He said, "Not anymore." He drove off. Everybody said, "Man, he's got it made. He's got it made. He's got it made. He's got it made. Man, if we could be like him, multimillionaire." You know what? I got a chance to be with him after he got off work at night. I'm going to tell you what happened. He had crippling arthritis. His fingers were just like this. Not only have crippling arthritis, he had a bad heart. His neck was that big around. He had to drive around in one of those little motorized wheelchairs. And he stayed in pain all day long. And the only thing that kept him going was that store. He'd go to that store, which was right next to his house. And he would come back. And he'd go home and eat supper and go to bed. And he'd lay in that bed and cry. He'd call me. I'd go sit with him. And one day he called me in his office. And I said, "What is it? What is it, man?" He said, "I would give you everything I own right now, everything, if I could just get up and walk to you one time." And I said, "I'm so sorry, brother." He says, I don't even feel like a man." But I hear other people say, "Man, he got it made. He got it made. He got it made. He got all this money. He got all this stuff." And I tell him, "Dude, if y'all only knew. If you only knew." You see, it happens to everybody, even the ones you think that it's not happening to. And on top of that, he had two ponds by his business, and one pond nobody could fish in. Of course, DC and Daniel and I could, but nobody could fish in it because that was his son's pond. And his son had went upstairs one night. While this is going on, he can't move. Everything's bad. His son goes upstairs one night and commits suicide. And so that was his son's pond. Nobody could win that pond. But when DC and Daniel got there, he said, "Boys, I got a pond for y'all." You see, he didn't have it so made after all. And I got a chance to be with him and to hear this all the time. Dark valleys are unavoidable. Not only are dark valleys unavoidable, but they're unpredictable. You can't plan for them. Remember, this is so wild this happened because here I was in Lowe's, telling that funeral director, "Don't call me this weekend. You got it covered. Don't call me." And he laughed and said, "Don't worry." And as I'm walking away, I'm telling you, I heard it. You're going to eat those words. An hour later, I'm getting called telling me that pastor, both of those pastors, had gotten COVID and they were in a bind. "Could you please help them?" You see, you can't plan for them. You can't figure out what's going to. It's usually at the worst possible time. You see, Jeremiah 4:20 says, "Disaster after disaster is reported, for the whole land is destroyed. Suddenly, my tents are destroyed, my tents curtains in a moment." You see, you can't plan for these things. You can't just set aside some time. Dark valleys are usually unscheduled. If I was to take a poll right now and said, "Okay, how many want to have your, let's just go make a, how many want to just go ahead and have your valley Monday? Get over with and start on Tuesday something fresh." I don't want one, period. You can have mine if you want it. No, that's not how it works. It's usually when you're trying to do something else. I remember DC and Daniel, before we had cell phones and all we had was an answer machine. I'm not kidding, every time we would get ready to go on vacation, I was getting ready to take this boy somewhere. The phone would ring within an hour before we left, and the boys got saying, "Daddy, don't answer that." Because they knew what was going to happen. Something would happen, and we'd have to cancel. One time we got all the way up to Virginia, got in the hotel. We were going to Busch Gardens. And in the hotel, I'd already give the clerk my number for the hotel. And when we got in there, they said, "Mr. Linton, we got a call for you. We're checking in." I said, "Okay, what is it?" And I called my clerk, and she said, "You know one of our guys in the church, the truck driver?" I said, "Yes." "He just got in a wreck and broke his neck." So I went and told my boys. I said, "I'll be there in a couple of hours." I got to come back from Virginia. And I remember going to my boys, and I said, "Boys, I just got a phone call." And they went, "No, Dad, no. Please tell us no. You're playing with us." I said, "No, pack your stuff back up." You see, my plans was to be in Busch Gardens with my boys and my wife. God's plans for me to be in intensive care for the next 5 days, unlimited, with this guy that could have died. So they're unpredictable. You see, most of the time when how many times are you prepared for it? We're not. So let's go again. They're unavoidable. They're unpredictable. Oh, here's a good one. And they're impartial. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Let me tell you something. Nobody's immune. There's nobody in here that's got a shot big enough. You know, it's wild that I got COVID because I had all the shots. I even had a rabies shot. I got mine at the vet's office. I got all of my COVID shots. And I got my rabies in the stomach, everything all at one time. I had everything and still got COVID. And I was going to the prison. The 3 years it was shut down, nobody could go into prison. I was still going to prison because I went to B5. And I was going to the hospitals when I could go, and nursing homes when they would let me, and doing funerals, and never got COVID. And my mother-in-law gets sick, and we have home health come in, and I believe that's where I got it from, because the home health nurses are saying, "Well, one of our nurses is out today because they've got COVID." I believe that's where it came from. And my wife and I have been so good, and we've gone 3 years without getting COVID, and bam! I'm still having the effects from it. I'm going, "This was not supposed to happen. I got all my shots." It happened. So, don't you think that who you are has got anything to do with it? Matter of fact, sometimes I think, if you got Linton on it, that's a guarantee that something bad is going to happen. You know, Linda's Italian. Y'all know Linda's Italian, and Linda's family wanted to have a family reunion, but they can't meet because of the witness protection program. My family wanted to have a family reunion, but they got to wait until the parole board meets. Instead of saying, "Why me, God?" say, "Why do you want me to learn? Why are you trying to teach me?" Because with every pain, there comes a lesson. With every trial, there's a lesson. With everything... You know, I was talking with the funeral director Friday before the lady came in so I could talk to her about the funeral. And he's the one that came and picked up Bethany. And that night we had gone to get something to eat at the La Riba restaurant, and the lady that waited on me, she came up to me and she was speaking broken English, and she said, "Whenever you come in here, my heart hurts." And I was thinking, mine does when I leave. It's called heartburn. She said, "Whenever you come in here, my heart hurts." And I said, "Why?" She says, "Because I think about your beautiful daughter." And tears were in her eyes. And so I had one of these. And so I took it off. I told her what it was. And I gave it to her. And with tears in her eyes, she said, "Thank you so much." And she came back by the table later. And she showed me her bracelet. She said, "Thank you." And then I go that night to the funeral home, and that's the guy that come picked up Bethany. And I said, "I know by the time you got there, everybody had left. It was full. It was packed. That room was packed. Many of y'all were in there. It was packed. But everybody had left. It was just me and Linda. And we sat in that room. And we held her hand, stroked her hair, and said, 'You fought a good fight, girl. You finished your course. You kept the faith. We know God's got you now.' And I can't think of anything that was more painful than that day. But I went on to Mighty Army, and I put Bethany, finally won her battle with cancer today. I didn't put Bethany was defeated. I didn't put Bethany just died. I put Bethany just won her battle with cancer. Because I know although the pain was going to continue here, her pain was gone. She's a preacher's daughter. That shouldn't, well, shouldn't happen. It don't matter if she's a preacher's daughter or not. She got cancer. She died. I can't explain it. I don't understand it all, especially all the pain, having to rebuild her face, taken from 4 years old. I remember her very first surgery at 4 years old, then at 5 years old. And the very first time she had surgery, we were the only ones allowed in the hospital because of the nature of her being beat. And there was policemen at Johnson Memorial Hospital, Johnson County Memorial Hospital. There was policemen at the bottom by the elevator. There was policemen outside her door. And the only ones that could come in was me. And at the time, it was Beverly, me and Beverly, and the social worker. That's it, because the abuse problem. And I remember, and then all the way through from 4 all the way through till 17 when she had her last surgery, I thought something good was going to be taking place. And then she got in trouble. We got her out of that trouble. And then she got cancer. You see, it's unavoidable. It's unpredictable. Valleys are impartial. You never know when these things are going to hit you. But what you do is, and we're going to get even deeper next week. I'm getting ready. I'm starting to wind down. I said start. Don't get happy. The thing I like about the dark valleys the most is they're temporary. They're unavoidable, they're unpredictable, they're impartial. They hurt, man, sometimes they hurt so bad. But they're temporary. You see, valleys have a beginning, but they also have an end. They don't last forever. This is not our permanent residence in the valley. God's taking care of us, and God understands. I like what Peter said. See, Peter, when he came along and wrote his epistles, the church was being persecuted by Rome. Rome was going through and killing people left and right. They were taking Christians and they were crucifying them on poles, and then they would light them on fire to light the city. So the streets of Rome were lined with crucified Christians, and then they were drenched in oil and set on fire to provide light for the city. Peter says, the suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. Wow. You see, they do not last forever. It's not our permanent residence. Sometimes we think we're in a cave with no way out. I promise you, it's not a cave, it's a tunnel. And there is a light at the end, and it is not the train. God sees you, and God takes care of you. And then finally, and I'm closing for today, and we'll start back next week. I want you to remember this. Your valley has a purpose. You rejoice that though for now, for a short time, you have had to be distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, this is 1 Peter talking. It's Peter talking in 1 Peter. Praise God. You see, you got to understand something about problems. Every problem we have has a purpose. Amen? God has a reason for taking you through the dark valleys. Look, full of doubt, full of despair, discouragement, defeat, financial valleys, relationship, emotional, spiritual valleys. In all of them, God gives us promises, and He's promised that He would get us through them. Because, like I said, every problem has a purpose. I love this. The little ones, the insequential ones, the irritating ones. You see, God is more concerned with your character than your comfort. Any person that joins the military, their first few months there, they're not pampered. I heard the guys that's in the military laugh. Y'all are not pampered at all, were you? Did the sergeant see if he could get your pillow right behind your head and make sure that you were didn't have to work in the sun and the rain? Steve, you had that, didn't you? You were in the Air Force. Y'all had it made. I had a guy pastored in from the Air Force, and I said, "Is it true?" I said, when they were trying to recruit me when I was in high school, I was colorblind, so I didn't go. I said, "Is it true?" I told my pastor, I said, "I've pastored Marines, and I've pastored Army, and I've pastored Coast Guard, and I've pastored National Guard, but you're my first Air Force guy." I said, "The Air Force recruiter told me that while the Marines were sleeping in mud in their tents in Vietnam, and the Army was doing virtually the same, that y'all were in air-conditioned barracks." And that man said, "That's the recruiter's story." He said, "His lips will tell you anything." He said, "Yeah, I had an air-conditioned barracks when the air-conditioned worked." He said, "But you know what I did every day? I said, "What did you do?" He said, I think it was, what's the big one? The C. Y'all help me out, the big plane, the cargo plane. Whatever the big cargo plane is. He said, "I would ride in that every day over enemy lines to restock supplies." And he said, "It was such a nice, joyful ride that I sat in an armored chair." And he said, "The whole ride," he said, "bullets were going through the plane." And he said, "Bombs were bursting around us." And he said, "My chair was being hit by live ammo from the ground." I said, "Whoa." He said, "That weren't even the best of it." He said, "After we got on the other side and we dropped off the supplies," he said, "we picked up body bags and brought them back." He said, "Did the recruiter tell you all about all that?" I said, "No, sir, he didn't." And then I had a fellow that was in the Navy. He said, "I was going to join the Navy so I didn't have to go in the jungle." He says, "So I joined the Navy." This guy's a preacher now. He said, "I joined the Navy so I wouldn't have to go in the jungle." He said, "I'm in boot camp and we're all lined up." He says, "Line up, count off. 1, 2, 3, 4. He said, "Everybody," he said, "I'm here to get volunteers for the CBs. Count off. Every odd man, count off." And he went, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 12. He said, "Y'all just volunteered." He said, "I was on a boat going and on a boat coming. The rest of the time, I was in the jungle making airfields." And he said, "I was dodging bullets on bulldozers. Bullets and bulldozers." He said, "Did the recruiter tell you about that?" He said, "But they were good to me." He said, "The last couple of months, they wanted to get me back to civilization." He said, "So they wanted to give me a soft job just to get me back used to eating with utensils. And I wanted to fight somebody and shoot somebody every time they hollered at me." I said, "What'd you do?" He said, they put me on a detail. He said, "Where I stuffed body bags and sent them home." Wow. I think about those guys all the time. The things they told me just keeps resonating over and over and over again. But you know what? Those same guys are the guys that I will go in a foxhole with any day, any time, because those guys, they had character built so strong in them. They were amazing people when they come back over here. No matter what they went through over there, they were amazing when they got over here. You see, faith is built on the valleys of life. Daniel told me when he was over in Afghanistan. He said, "Daddy," I said, "Daniel, do y'all have a high turnover?" He says, "Yeah, either through death or..." Well, thank you, Daniel. "Either through death or transfer." or the guys run their contract out. And I said, well, where do you get guys from? He said, we get them from England. We get them from New Zealand. We get them from Australia. He said, I said, you know what my code name is over here, Dad? I said, y'all don't tell, look, I won't turn the video off right now. They leave it on. He said, you know what my call name is? I said, what? He said, Forrest Gump. Because I'm from North Carolina. Talking to somebody from New Zealand and England, they're going, what's up, chap? Hi, y'all. He said, Daddy, I hated it when they sent us guys that hadn't experienced the real thing. And you had to lay your life in their hands. And when things got really tough, you wondered, were they going to stand with you or were they going to run? When you find somebody that's been through something, you can tell it because they're different. Somebody's been through pain and realized that pain is productive and that pain has a purpose and that God allows it not to destroy you but to build you and do something in you. Wow. They're the people that'll hang with you. You ain't got to worry about it. They're there. They're solid. And so when I get around people and I find out they've been through something, I say, okay, we're going to be okay. You see, I'm getting ready to close. And though I walk through the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. I'll put this up here. I love it. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you, talking about God, are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me. And they comfort me. When you're going through all these valleys, you have a promise from God that you're not going through it alone. Sometimes you can't hear him. You can't hear him. You don't see evidence of him. But he's there. I think about the time there was a bully taking Daniel in the boys' room at Meadow School in Benson, North Carolina. And Daniel said, Daddy, he bullies me every day. What do I do? I said, Dan, you ain't gonna like what I'm gonna tell you. He said, what? I said, stand up to him. He said, Dad, he's a lot bigger than I am. I said, stand up to him. He said, what if he hits me? I said, stand up to him. If you don't stand up to him, he can keep right on. The next day came, Daniel went to the bathroom. That guy came up to Daniel. And Daniel faced him right up to the face and looked at him and said, don't you dare touch me or talk junk to me again. Do you understand me? I'm not afraid of you. Daniel didn't see this, but I'd ask DC to keep an eye on him. DC was in a bathroom stall. And so while that guy's looking at Daniel and Daniel's looking at him, DC steps out of a bathroom stall. You know how big he is. And he went. Daniel never knew it. The guy said, yes, sir, Daniel. I'll leave you alone. I promise I won't touch you again. I'll never say anything bad about you again. Daniel says, there you go. I knew you'd do it. Dad was right. And DC just opened up the door, climbed back in the stall. And shut it. Daniel walked away. Told me, said, Dad, what you said was right. I stood up to him and he backed down. I saw DC go. Let me tell you something. When you're going through something, when you're going through trials and Satan's beating you and whipping you, remember, you're not by yourself. Even when you can't see him, God steps out that little stall and goes. Trust him with everything you got. BJ, come play us something, bro. Play something for the altar. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Everybody stand. I know this was a laid-back message today, but laid-back's fine. God's trying to show us, teach us things. Sometimes the valley humbles us. Sometimes a valley blends us. God's always doing something. Never have I noticed pain without a purpose. I've reminded several people this week this same story. And you've heard me say it 100 times. I said it in a lot of funerals. I had a guy one time ask me, his son had died. And he asked me, he said, "Where was God when my son died?" And I said, the same place he was when his son died. He was on the throne and in control. And then I lost Bethany. And I looked up, and for a moment, I said, "God, where were you?" And then it hit me what I've been told so many people over the years, and I heard it. I was in the same place I was when my son died, on the throne and in control. God's got you more than you ever imagined. He's putting something in you that nothing else on this world can put in you, like valleys. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. No looking around. A lot of times we get in a valley, if we're not careful, we'll turn away from God because we don't see Him. We don't recognize His presence. We don't see His protection, not knowing that it is there. We just don't see it. And we turn away from God in our valleys. That's not God's purpose. God's purpose is for to draw you closer to Him. And as we're drawn away from Him, we find ourselves getting further and further and further from God. Today, right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if I'm talking to you and you know it, I'm talking to you right now, you let the valleys make you hard. You let the valleys make you harsh. You let the valleys make you gruff. And you lost your sensitivity to the move of God. You may even stop praying like you used to. Stop reading like you used to. Now I'm speaking to you right now, and you're saying, "You know what? I realize something, that I've been mad at the wrong person. I've been upset with the wrong person." And you want to get back where you were with God, with nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you slip that hand up quickly so I just acknowledge it? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Maybe you're here and it's just hard. You're going through some hard ones. I mean hard ones. And every time you think you're getting some relief, it just seems to multiply. And you just need to break. God, I just need a break. God, I just need to feel your strength and your power. I need to see your hand grab mine. I just need to feel that right now. And feel your comfort. If I'm talking to you with every head bowed, every eye closed, everything's okay, but you need to feel it. You need to feel his hand. You need to feel his strength go to rush through your body. If I'm talking to you, raise that hand. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Maybe you know somebody else that's going through a trial and you want to be there for them, but you can't because of several reasons. Maybe number one is it reminds you of a trial you went through and you can't seem to get it differentiated between the trial you went through and theirs, and it just brings back so much pain and so much memory that you can't help them not realizing that God, in His infinite grace and mercy, when you went through it, He allowed you to go through it so you could help that person that's going through it now. Don't run from them, run to them. Help them. Maybe you know somebody that doesn't want help and they're going through trials and you just want to pray for them. Whatever it is, we're all going to pray together right now, okay? Y'all pray with me. Father, I thank You for being God. I thank You that You never leave us alone. We've never gone through a valley without You with us. We haven't always felt You, but You're there, and we thank You. Lord, help us right now to draw close to You, closer than we've ever been. Because You said, when we go through dark valleys, You would draw close to us. And we're going to hold on to that promise. Help us, Lord, to pull in and hold on to Your plan and learn from the pain. We thank You for it right now in the name of Jesus. You guide us, God, and we know it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. It really, 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 really felt good last week. So we're going to do it again. It was last week, week before. We're going to do it again. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. And after we say the Lord's Prayer together, we're closing. After we say the Lord's Prayer together, then I want Benny to take it. So we called on Tuesday nights, one take us in and one take us out. Okay, so I'm going to take us in. Benny's going to take us out. And remember, I'm going to ask who brought us here. And don't do like the guy did in B5. I said, who brought us here? He said, the sergeant from F Block. No. Who brought us here? You say, our Father. And we'll start the Lord's Prayer. When we get through, then Benny's going to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Who brought us here? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.